Welcome to the audio version of Burnside at Home. Thanks so much for joining with us. My name's Richard, I'm minister in Burnside, and I'm delighted that you're able to listen in. This is the audio version of the service, which is broadcast on our church website each week. And you can access this not only by phoning the telephone line, but also by listening to it as a podcast, and it's available on most popular podcast situations like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and others like that. So do listen in. We're sorry that because of copyright reasons, we're not able to broadcast the songs that are part of our service, but hopefully you will be able to worship God as we join him together. Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you so much for joining with us as we worship again this week. I know from hearing from many of you that there are lots of different situations that you're in. Many of you would just love to be coming along on a Sunday. Others of you aren't able to travel from wherever you happen to be listening in from, but we're delighted that you're able to join us online this week. And thank you so much for the lovely messages that I've been receiving. And it's good just to know that you are listening, that you are watching our services, and that you are taking part in our worship week by week. This week, we're continuing that theme of holding lightly to the things of this world and yet holding tightly to the things of God. And we're going to be thinking about where our treasure is and how our treasure should be in heaven and what that should look like, putting treasure in heaven. And we're going to be thinking specifically about treasuring Jesus. And with that in mind, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. And that's going to be read to us later in the service by Elaine Howard. For now, I want to read a couple of verses to you, or just verse 22 from Matthew chapter 6. It follows on from the little bit about our treasure in heaven. And there we hear, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So my prayer today for each one of us as we worship in this way together, that our eyes would be open. That our eyes would be open to see the light of God, that there would be no darkness in our eyes, but that we would see clearly who Jesus is. We're going to be thinking about what a treasure Jesus is. We're going to be thinking about how wonderful he is. And I truly believe that if our eyes were open so that we could catch even the merest little glimpse of who Jesus is, it would transform our lives, it would transform our worship, it would transform the way that we approach God. So let that be our prayer today. In a moment or two, we're going to sing 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And we're going to be thinking about how we have so many reasons to thank God and to praise him. But before we sing that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today we come before you, the Almighty God, the Everlasting God, the God who is without beginning and without end, the Alpha and the Omega. And we come to offer you our worship. But Lord, we do not come on our own strength before you. Instead, we join together in spirit and in truth. We grasp hold of the truth of your word. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit dwelling in us and uniting us wherever we happen to be today. Lord, allow us the time now to be peaceful and calm in your presence, to put aside all the distractions that are around us and simply focus not on this service on a computer, but help us, Lord, to focus on you. And Lord, our desire today is that you would open our eyes, take away the darkness so that we would see Jesus clearly.
We realize that Jesus is precious. But help us to truly treasure Jesus today. And help us, Lord, to continually give thanks for what Jesus has done in our lives. So, Lord, we bless you today. And we ask that you would bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. Treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen.
As we come to God in our prayers for others, I want to just mention a couple of items of concern at the moment. Both of them are financial. And just to update you on the financial situation within our congregation, we are obviously running at lower income than we have done in previous years, with not having any visitors over the summer and with being closed for a number of months. We, at the moment, we're about £6,000 down on where we were last year and the year before. And obviously, as we approach the end of the year, that is concerning because we still have many bills to pay. So if you are a member of Burnside and you would like to contribute, there are ways of doing that. You can use your envelopes and we'll send someone to collect them if that would be helpful. Or you can set up a standing order and we can give you details of the bank if you would want to contact the church. Just give me a ring or send an email to burnsidechurch@gmail.com. And we can get you details of that. Now, we know that there are many of you who are watching from other congregations and you have a connection with your own home congregation, and that is where your commitment financially lies. And so we're not seeking to reach out to you, but we just want to let our own folk in Burnside know the situation. On top of that then, we haven't had our United Appeal offering this year, and we're going to be launching that on Sunday. And if you would like to give to United Appeal, you can do that by placing a donation in an envelope and just simply marking it United Appeal. You can bring it along on a Sunday if you are coming along, or you can send it in to us as you do with your free will offering. The United Appeal of the Presbyterian Church is something that every congregation across this island gets involved in. And the United Appeal is, instead of each different section of the church appealing separately to congregations for funding, there is one United Appeal which is then distributed to those various areas. Now, again, because congregations are struggling financially this year, the United Appeal will also be affected. And yet those bills still need to be prayed and paid. And the United Appeal is very much used for the outreach of our church. So it funds the overseas mission of our church. It funds a home mission of our Presbyterian church. It funds all the different organisations that you see throughout the church, throughout the year, organising things. So do consider the United Appeal. I'm going to have a little video which you can watch, and it may not be linked into this service, but if you look on the web page where you got this service, there'll be a link to it there and you can watch it, and that will just fill you in on what is happening with United Appeal. But of course, as churches are struggling financially, we recognise that many of you are struggling financially at this time as well. Many of you in business are having difficulties because of the restrictions that have been in place, because of the lack of people being about, and your income has suffered. Many of you have been on furlough and therefore your income has suffered as well. And so we do recognise the pain that many are going through at this time. So as we bring our prayers for others, we want to remember you in prayer as well as remembering our church in prayer. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we bring the needs of others before you. And once again, Lord, our thoughts are filled with COVID-19 and all that that means as it impacts our lives and impacts our society. Today, Lord, we want to pray for those who have tested positive and are suffering with the symptoms of COVID-19. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with them as they recover and be with medical professionals as they help. We want to pray today also, Lord, for medical professionals and all that they have been doing. And we pray that you would keep them safe as they are on the front line and exposed to this virus in so many ways. We want to give you thanks this week, Lord, for the news of a vaccine. And even though it is still a little bit away, we thank you for the hope that that has given to us. And we pray, Lord, that that hope will be well-founded and that the vaccine will be available, first of all, to those who are most vulnerable in society, to protect them and keep them safe. Lord God, we pray for other vaccines that are being developed at this time as well, and pray that you would give good understanding to all those who are involved in trials and in research. Today, Lord, we want to pray for those who are suffering financially because of COVID-19, those who own businesses, and those businesses have been decimated and are holding on by a thread as we have just been through another period of restrictions and as we look ahead to Christmas. We pray, Lord, that you would ease worries where finance is concerned, that people would be provided for by our government. And we ask, Lord, that you would help all those who have been furloughed and who are struggling day by day in their lives. Lord God, we pray for churches at this time as well. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with them and with the shortfall in income, that all bills and commitments would be met. And today, Lord, we pray for the united appeal of our church, and we thank you for the work that goes on year by year through the united appeal. We think of that overseas mission and how many are impacted with the good news of the gospel through those global mission workers from our Presbyterian church. We think, Lord, of the many other areas of outreach within our church in Ireland. We think of in our church as well, of youth work. We think of women's work through Presbyterian Woman, and so many different areas that are all impacted through the work of the United Appeal. We pray, Lord, that this year, more than any other, that commitments would be met, Lord, and that we would bring glory to your name. So, Lord, we bring these needs and many, many others before you in prayer, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you treasure in life? That's the question that I want to begin with this morning, and I want you to answer that question truthfully. Now, we could all say the stock answers. We could all say very clearly, well, of course, it's my family, or it's my sons and daughters, it's my spouse. But if we take those things as accepted, that those are the things that we treasure, that we value in life, I want to ask you today, what possession do you value most in life? What possession do you treasure? Now, it could be anything at all. And don't worry, I'm not going to turn this around and say, oh, well, you shouldn't value that, you should value Jesus. Of course, we are going to get to the point that we value Jesus, But let's just be honest and truthful with ourselves right at the start. What do you value most? Is it a ring, perhaps, or a brooch that means something to you? Maybe it's a watch that's been handed down to you through the generations. Maybe it's an ornament that somebody has bought you and it's special to you. It's got sentimental value to it. Or maybe it's something that you've brought back from another country and it reminds you of a time and reminds you of people that you met. There are lots of things that we treasure. But just for now, think about the thing that you treasure the most. Now, if I ask you, where is that item? Where is that thing that you treasure the most? You would be able to tell me immediately. You'd be able to go now, put your hand on it and lift it out. If this was a two-way camera, I could say to you, right, you've got a minute to go and find it. You could go, you would find it immediately, you'd bring it back and you'd hold it up in front of the camera for me to see today. If you don't know where the item is that you've just mentioned, then I would suggest that you don't really treasure it. Because if we treasure something, we value it. We know where it is. We look at it. It brings back those memories. We look after it, make sure that it's okay, that it's in good shape. But if you don't know where it is, then I would say you're not really treasuring that. It's maybe something else that you're treasuring. The passage that we read earlier, that Elaine read for us from Matthew chapter 6, begins in verses 19, 20, and 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about those treasures that you've just been thinking about. Those are a very different thing. Those are things that have sentimental value to you and mean something to you. But what this verse is talking about is building up treasures, building up things here on earth so that we're distracted from heaven. And we're distracted from God, spending so much time on earthly things that we forget about the heavenly things. Jesus made it clear to us that having the wrong treasures leads to our hearts being in the wrong places. What we treasure the most controls us, whether we want to admit it or not. And whatever it is that we treasure and put all of our effort into, that's truly where our heart is. If possessions or money become too important to us, even if family becomes too important to us, we must re-establish control to get rid of those things. Jesus calls for a decision that allows us to live contentedly with whatever we have because we have chosen eternal values over temporary. We have chosen heavenly treasure above earthly treasure. And being content is vital to holding lightly to the things of this world. Here's a book that I will mention on the blog tomorrow. It's entitled If Only. It's by a lady called Jenny Pollock. And the little strap line to the book is finding contentment when life lets you down. And in this, Jenny is writing about not necessarily finding our contentment in the valuable things in life, but she's trying to find her contentment in the circumstances of life. And she's warning us that is earthly treasure. So she's not trying to amass lots of money or lots of possessions, but she's saying to God, if only this were to happen. I haven't read the book yet, but I've watched a video where Jenny is talking about the book, and it'll be on the blog tomorrow when you can find out more about it. But Jenny's talking about the reason behind the book, and she talked about the discontent that she had experienced because she was valuing earthly treasures. And that led her then to miss out on things that God was wanting to do in her life and causing her to miss out on what God was doing. For example, Jenny didn't want lots of money. She didn't want a high-powered job. She didn't want a beautiful house or a fast car. She wanted a husband. She wanted children. And her life was full of, if only I had a husband, if only I had a child, then I would be content. And she came to realize that those things are actually earthly treasures. Those things are not necessarily what God wants us to put our time and effort into. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being married. There's nothing wrong with having children. But for Jenny, that possibly wasn't what God wanted for her at that stage in her life. So her life was full of if only. So instead of holding on to these things lightly, she began to grasp for them. She began to try and hold onto them as tightly as possible, and she missed out on the heavenly treasures that God had in store for her. Another example of this, I've been watching over the last few weeks little excerpts from the Lord of the Rings films. For some reason, they've been repeated those last few weeks. And I keep seeing Frodo, the little hobbit, in the story, in each of them, just as I've been turning on television, and there he is, and he's progressing through the three films. And as I caught those little bits, I saw the progression in Frodo, in his attitude, in his way of life. And it's a study of Frodo who has been given the ring. And his one task in Lord of the Rings is to take this ring and carry it and destroy it. But the ring has great power. And it's very hard for people to resist that power. And Frodo starts off quite easily. He's got the ring. It doesn't mean very much to him. He's quite prepared to go on the journey and to get rid of it. But as the story unfolds, he becomes susceptible to the power of the ring. He desires to hold on to the ring. He wants the ring more than anything else. In fact, he wants the ring more than life itself as it begins to eat into his very soul. And that so often is the way that we are with possessions. They may come lightly into our lives or circumstances in our lives that may come lightly. But then we find it very difficult to let go of those things. We find it very difficult not to give them up, but just to hold them lightly. We hold them far too tightly. They begin to eat up at our souls and we miss out on the treasure of heaven. And if I can say anything to you today, it is please make sure that you store up treasure in heaven rather than treasure on earth. It would be an awful situation to get near the end of life and discover that all your treasure is earthbound and that there is nothing that has been placed in heaven. So let's hold on lightly. Let's not say to God, if only. But let us grasp the treasure of heaven. So how do we let go of this world? How do we hold tightly to treasure in heaven? Well, today I want to suggest that to store up treasure in heaven is really to treasure Jesus Christ. And if we can treasure Jesus, if we can value him above everything else in our lives, then we will be well on the way to storing up treasure in heaven. So do you treasure Jesus? Not just believe in him, not just realize who he is, but do you treasure him? Do you place value on him? Is it like that item that I mentioned that you thought about at the beginning of our time? That item that you value the most? You know where it is. You know everything about it. You'd do anything to protect it. If there was a fire in the house, that would be the thing. You would run and see it. Is Jesus like that to you today? Are you clinging on to him while you let go of everything else so that you value him more than anything? What do I mean? Well, with Jesus, let's treasure Jesus and let's think about some of the things that Jesus has done and let's see if we truly treasure him. And first of all, I want us to realize that Jesus dies for us. Do you treasure him? Because he died for you. Do we treasure him because of that? Or do we just expect that? After all, that's a story we've heard from whenever we were children, that Jesus has died for our sins. And do we just take that for granted? Or do we truly treasure the fact that Jesus has died for our sins? We need to remember there is no good reason for God to love us. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing that we've done that would be attractive to God. And yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died for my sins and for your sins. In Romans 5, verses 6 to 8, we read, "You see, at just the right time, whenever we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do we treasure that today? That Jesus Christ gave up his life so that we could be forgiven of our sin? Think about Jesus. Jesus is there in heaven with his heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus comes to this earth. He comes to this earth and it is a sinful place. This is the God who we worship. The God who cannot allow sin into his presence in heaven. And yet he becomes man and comes to live among sinful men and women. He comes to live on a planet that has been ravished by sin. A planet that is cursed because of sin. And nothing is as it was first created because sin has come into the world. And this God who cannot tolerate sin doesn't just come here and live here and keep sin at a distance. That would be remarkable in itself if God came here and said, "Okay, I have now become man, I am on this earth, but just keep away from me. Don't bring sin too close to me. I'll watch it from afar." But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus embraces sin. He embraces sinners like you and like me. He goes to the very places that sinners can be found. And he goes right up to them in their sin and he loves them. And he does the same for us today. He comes to you and me in our sin and he meets us in our sinful state and he embraces us and loves us and dies for us. He doesn't just wave a magic wand over sinners and say, "Your sin is forgiven." He suffers because of our sin. He is beaten because of our sin. He allows sinful men to nail him to a cross because of our sin. And then he suffers excruciating pain because of our sin, and he dies because of our sin. He takes our sin upon himself, the one who is sinless, the one who is perfect, the one who has never sinned, takes our sin and dies on the cross. He plunges into the very depths of death for you and for me because of our sin. What a Savior. Do we treasure him today? Do we truly treasure the one who has died for us? Is he a treasure to us? And do we treasure him for what he has done? Jesus dies for us. Secondly, I want to just say to you today, do we treasure Jesus? Because Jesus doesn't tire of us. Doesn't tire of us. Do we treasure that, or do we just expect that to be the case? I was talking to someone this week. He was giving me a good talk about church and about God. He was telling me about various different churches, people who went to them, and whether they were Christians or not, and the good Christians, how they had lived such good lives. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk to him about. It's usually a deflection technique whenever someone's talking about other people in such terms. They think they can fool the minister by talking about Christian things, but point to someone else and away from themselves. Which church do you belong to? I asked. Well, now that's a question, came the reply. And my ears pricked up at that point, because maybe, just maybe, we were getting somewhere. Well then, which church do you attend? I said. Well, I don't attend church. If truth be told, I'm tired. I suppose I'm tired of church, so I don't go to church anymore. I watch a few American ministers online, but I don't go to church. I'm tired of church. Now imagine if Jesus became tired of us in the way that we can be tired of him. But he doesn't. He never tires of us. Imagine if Jesus became tired of forgiving us. Same sin today as yesterday. Same sins this week as this time last year. Imagine if Jesus became tired of forgiving. But he doesn't. Imagine if Jesus became tired of the promises that we break. Oh, Jesus, I'll do things right this time. Oh, Jesus, I'll make sure that I don't mess up this time. Jesus, this is it. This time I truly mean it. And then we go and break those promises again. Imagine if Jesus became tired of that. He just said, away on with you. You're not worth the effort. But he doesn't. He doesn't say that to us. He doesn't tire of us breaking those promises again and again. He loves us even more. Imagine if Jesus became tired at our feeble attempts at obedience. But he doesn't. He doesn't become tired of us. He loves us. He forgives us. He accepts us. Treasure Jesus today, because he never gets tired of what we do. He never gets tired of us that he would push us aside and forget us. Oh yes, it breaks his heart when we break promises. Yes, it breaks his heart when we do not obey. Yes, it breaks our hearts when he has to forgive us time and time again, but he never becomes tired of us. And when we become tired, when we become tired of him, whenever we become tired of church, when we become tired of life itself, Jesus then calls us to him. He says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus doesn't tire of us, and he calls us to him when we are tired. So come to him today and treasure him. Treasure being in his presence. Treasure Jesus calling out your name today. And then finally, I want us to see that Jesus displays God's glory, and that is why we should treasure him. Jesus displays God's glory. Do we treasure that, or do we just expect it? Whenever we meet with Jesus, we actually see God. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his wonderful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." This world is a dangerous place. This world is an evil place. The only way to survive in this world is to lift our eyes to see God, not to keep looking at the squalor and the evil and the pain around us, but to lift up and look to Almighty God. Look to Jesus. And treasure Jesus. See his beauty, because he is the radiance of God's glory. Think of Advent as we approach Christmas. And that first Christmas, as Jesus was born, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Treasure Jesus for the beauty of God that he shows us. We see that glory of God's radiance in Jesus Christ through grace and truth. The truth that we read in the Bible of God Almighty displays his glory and splendor. The grace that Jesus Christ has shown me in my sins and shown you in your sins and going to die for us is the splendor of God's glory. So treasure Jesus, because he allows us to see the glory of our Heavenly Father in this way. We began the service by singing 10,000 Reasons. And we sang to God. We sang to Jesus Christ, "You're rich in love. You're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find." Do you treasure Jesus today? I've only given 3 reasons to treasure Jesus. But there are 10,000 and 10,000 more. We could start today and just keep going for the reasons why Jesus is so precious to us and Jesus is our treasure. Don't just dismiss him today. Treasure him. If you don't treasure him already, let today be the day where you trust in him and find full salvation in him. We're going to end our service in a few moments by singing another great hymn, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." If we only had one tongue, we could praise God. But the hymn writer wants 1,000 tongues, all coming together to offer praise to Almighty God, to say how great He is. And even then, it would not be enough. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Treasure Jesus, because this is what He can do for us. This is what He has done for us on the cross. And sing His praise. And worship Him this day. And treasure Him closely. Because we cannot sing enough. We cannot sing often enough of what He has done and who He is. Let's bow before Him in prayer before we sing together. Lord God Almighty, our sins are forgiven. Your blood shed for us to take away the foulest of sin. Oh, how we treasure you today. Help us, Lord, to hold lightly to everything else in this world, but to hold on tightly to you. That we would truly treasure you and worship you this day. Amen. Let's sing together. Wherever you happen to be, let us sing God's praise and worship Him for this forgiveness that He gives us today. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Thank you for joining with us once again this week in worship, and we do appreciate your prayers at home as we continue to serve God here and as we continue to worship together. I do want to extend an invitation to you that you are more than welcome to join with us on a Sunday in Burnside. We're taking all the precautions that we possibly can to keep people as safe as possible. And we have heard of outbreaks of COVID in other churches and where they've had to close and have deep cleans. And we pray that God would protect us and that we would do everything that we possibly can to keep you safe. So you are more than welcome to join with us on a Sunday. But now, as we finish our time of worship, I want to offer this blessing, this benediction to you. So let us pray together. Today, Heavenly Father, may we store up treasure in heaven. As we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore.